Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour. Good to have you with us today. I'm Jeff Cavins, and we're talking about all things evangelization and discipleship on this beautiful, beautiful early summer, late spring day. And if you're listening to this on Saturday or Sunday, it's a rebroadcast, but it's a beautiful, beautiful day, beautiful time of the year. And we're going to talk about evangelization today. We're going to talk about a couple things. One is women in the new evangelization. We've got three guests with us today who are going to be talking about a new book club that's starting up with women in the new evangelization around a very special book that is being released called Blessed Are You. And we're going to talk to the author, Melanie Rigney. And we're going to talk to a couple of other people too, Sarah Dom and Madeline Miller, who are involved in the Twin Cities here with the book clubs for WINE, Women in the New Evangelization, which that group, by the way, left yesterday. They're in Rome today, and they're taking a retreat and a pilgrimage all around Italy, so pray for them. That's Kelly Walquist and the gang over there with Teresa Tomeo. And they're having a great time over there. So we're going to talk about this great book club that's starting up in the Twin Cities this fall and give you an opportunity to join a group near you. But before we get to that, I want to just take a moment to encourage you today about your own walk with Jesus. I think sometimes we need to take a little break and kind of calibrate. How are we doing with the Lord? How are we doing with Him? And I want to talk to you just for a few minutes about your relationship and ask you a couple of questions. And as I do that, I'm asking myself the question too. And that is, what does your relationship with Jesus look like? Now, you tuned into the show today and probably wasn't an accident. You tuned in because you want to know more about the Lord. You want to know more about your faith. And I want to ask you, what does your faith look like? What does your relationship with Jesus look like? If I were to go into your work today and interview your colleagues, your boss, your buddies in the cubicle next to you and ask them, tell me about her relationship with God, or tell me about his relationship with God, how would they describe it? Would they have a lot of material to describe? Would they say, you know, that's a good question, I really don't know? Or would they say, oh, there's no doubt about it, that person is a disciple of Jesus, and here's the reasons why. But what if I went to your home and asked your wife or your husband about your relationship with the Lord? Or better yet, and more revealing, what if I interviewed your children? And you're saying, don't do that. Do not do that. Your children would probably tell you the truth and tell me the truth. Well, here's what I see in their life. Because you know what? When you're at home, you're probably more like you really are with God than out in public. I know that to be true. I remember one guy saying one time in a talk, and I thought it was very good. He said, you are who you are when you are alone and totally alone. That's who you are. That's who you are. The habits you have, the things you do, the things you say, the things you view, the money you spend, the things you consume, your attitude, it is who you are. So what does your relationship with Jesus look like today? Now, there's two different ways to look at this. One is you can say, well, these are the things that I believe. I believe in the resurrection. I believe in the communion of saints. I believe in the real presence of Christ. I believe in the Blessed Mother. I believe in judgment. I believe, you know, go on and on. And that doesn't really tell me about your relationship with God, but it tells me what you believe. But Pope Benedict said one time, he said, there's two aspects to believing. One is making mental assent, I believe these things. The other is a personal entrusting of yourself to God in the areas that you say you believe. So if we are to describe our relationship with God to somebody else today, we're going to have to describe it in broader terms than I believe these things. And we're going to have to start to describe it in terms of I really entrust my life to Jesus, and I have a relationship with the Blessed Mother, and I have a relationship with the saints, and I really do believe that there's going to be a judgment, therefore, this is how it affects my life in entrusting myself to God. So what does your relationship with God look like today? And one other thing I would like you to think about as I'm thinking about today, and by the way, last night I spoke to the Catholic Watchman. You talk about the compliment to the women's ministry and the Archdiocese wine. We've got the Catholic Watchman. We were with Father Rolf Tollefson out at St. Hubert's, and we were talking about some of these things. And we had a great group of guys out there. We had a time of adoration. And then I gave a small message. Father Rolf gave a message. Matthew James Christoph gave a bit of a message. And we had a time of adoration. The confession lines were so long. It was amazing, very encouraging. And then we had a meal and a group discussion. And we were talking about some of these things. And one of the things that we focused on was that if Jesus is living inside of you, and you believe that, how would your day change? If Jesus is really living inside of you, what is he doing inside of you? Is he just sort of saying, well, I'm just here? Or is he trying to continue the ministry that he started 2,000 years ago? And that's the answer. Jesus is not just indwelling us so that we have a spark of joy in the midst of our down days, but he's living inside of us to continue his ministry. So you have to ask ourselves, well, what was his ministry? Well, his ministry was to bring everyone to the Father, and his ministry was to heal, reconcile. His ministry was to minister to the widow, the orphan, to heal the sick, and to bring us to himself and walk with us. That's what he was doing 2,000 years ago, and that's what he's doing inside of you today. That's what he's trying to do inside of you today. So let me ask you a question. If you believe that Jesus was really inside of you, then how would that change your relationship with the people at work? How would that change your relationship with the people in your own family? If Jesus is really living inside of you and you drive home after work today and you meet your wife, how is it going to change that encounter? And your children? What about your teenagers? You know, I mean, sometimes we need some extra help there. Well, Jesus is on board. So how would it change those relationships? That's something to really think about. It's a challenge to me because if Jesus, and I say if Jesus, which I believe, by the way, if Jesus is really inside of me today, then that's going to change my world. It really is going to change my world. But here's even a better question for you. If Jesus is living inside of you and you believe that, then if Jesus came to you today in the flesh and said, I want to live inside of you and I want to walk inside of you and I want to love through you and reconcile through you and exercise mercy through you and kindness, then would tomorrow be any different than yesterday? If he came to you today and said, I want to dwell in you, would tomorrow be any different than yesterday? Well, you know the answer to that, and I know the answer to that. The answer is absolutely. Well, here's the thing. He is. He is inside of you, not just to make you happy, not just to satisfy a religious checklist, but he's inside of you to change you and to change the world, and to bring you to himself in a loving relationship, a bridal spousal relationship where he's the bridegroom and you're the bride. And it's a covenant relationship. And he is a God who keeps his covenant. He's faithful. And so it will change our lives. So for the rest of the day, as you're driving to work right now, or maybe you're getting ready for the weekend, whatever you might be doing, maybe you're bringing the kids to a doctor's appointment, picked them up at school, whatever you're doing today, for the rest of today and this weekend, try to stay conscious of the fact that you are not alone. Jesus said, I will be with you. I will never forsake you. I will not leave you as orphans, but I will come to you. And here's what Paul said, and I'll end with this. He said, I have been crucified with Christ. And it's no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and delivered himself up for me. If you want to know the address, that's Galatians 2:20. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives through me. And that's a disciple. That's a Catholic. That's a believer. And that is a follower. Stay with us. We're going to talk about wine, women, and the new evangelization in a really, really great book club, or should I say book clubs, that are starting up in the Twin Cities this fall. And by the way, 45 states are starting up these clubs, 10 countries represented. That's women in the new evangelization. We'll talk about that next on the Rediscover Hour.
Right now, purchase a set of four eligible Firestone tires and get a $60 Firestone Visa prepaid card by mail. Whatever you drive, drive a Firestone.
Offer valid through July 4th. Card expires. Prepaid card is issued by the Bancorp Bank, member FDIC, pursuant to a license from Visa USA Inc. and may be used everywhere Visa debit cards are accepted.
Westside Tire in Corcoran has Firestone tires to fit your car, truck, or SUV just minutes west of the metro. 763-420-2100. Westside Tire, they'll take care of you.
This season, we all drive a little more, and you can count on the champions of service at Westside Tire in Corcoran. Westside Tire has tires and brakes for your car, truck, SUV, and crossover. Come to Westside Tire for safe driving all summer long. Tires for every vehicle are available today at Westside Tire, just west of 494 off Highway 55 in Corcoran. Call 763-420-2100. Westside Tire. They'll take care of you.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. You know, reading these days is something that is, for some people, falling by the wayside. You know, people are not reading quite like they used to. And that's sad, really, because you can learn so much by reading. I don't know if it's the technology that's changing and people are reading or trying to read on their iPads and their smart media and all of that. But I know that in my life I bought a lot of books online, electronically, but I didn't read them like I read real paper books. And I'm holding in my hands a real paper book right now, and it's one of the new books for the Read Between the Wines book club. Kind of a clever title, Wine is Women in the New Evangelization. And let me just add that when we talk about wine, we're talking about the new wine of Jesus Christ. Oh yeah, they have a glass of wine here and there, but that's not the emphasis. The emphasis is the new wine that Jesus has given us, and it stands for Women in the New Evangelization. And these book clubs start up tomorrow in the Twin Cities. We're going to give you all the information on how you can do it. Let me give you a little background. Women in the New Evangelization is a ministry that partners with the Archdiocese here in the Twin Cities, and they've had two Catholic women's conferences so far here in the Twin Cities. And they have had a lot of incredible events, the Women, Wine, and Wisdom events, that almost every one of them have literally sold out. And they have book clubs now that are starting in 45 states, 10 countries, and this is the home of it, right here. The founder, Kelly Wahlquist, is in Rome right now, leading a group of people on a pilgrimage. But joining us here as a great contributor to the Women in the New Evangelization is Sarah Dahm. She is the organizer of the Read Between the Wines Summer Book Club, and she's going to offer us some details on the wine book clubs. She's a Catholic wife, mother to six children, ages 5 to 13, and like many moms, she spends her days driving her kids around, just like you, running errands, cooking meals, and helping with homework. And she's a very, very good blogger on the internet. And joining her is her mother, Madeline Miller, who is one of the creators of a group locally here. So we're going to welcome both of you to the show. Good to have you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
And Sarah, I know that you have done a lot of work with the Reading Between the Wines book clubs. Give our listeners a little idea, first of all, of the bigger picture of wine and how these book clubs fit in.
So when we decided to do a book club, it was last last year, and we said we're going to do a summer book club, and we kind of took the name Read Between the Wines to have the book club be something you do in between your Bible studies. You know, you have your Bible study in the fall, maybe you do something in the spring, and then you have the summer where everything kind of shuts down.
Right.
And we thought, you know, just like we don't want our kids to lose everything they've learned in the school year, we don't want to lose the things that we've been studying and how we've been growing in our faith over the summer. We can't take a vacation from that. But we might need something a little bit more relaxed, laid back, a little bit easier, less homework. So we thought a book club would be a great thing for women to do in the summer to keep in touch with their faith and also with their friends.
I know that women are very relational.
Yes.
And they love to get together and they love their friends. And it isn't something that they just stop for the summer and say, I'll see you in the fall.
Right.
They do continue those relationships. And I think that book clubs among women are one of the real bright spots of evangelization, where it's a natural thing to relate and get together and read and discuss these things. So tell me a little bit about how these groups operate, particularly here in the Twin Cities.
Yeah, so we piloted our book club. We did the summer book club. The summer book club's a little unique in that we have two elements to it. We have the groups that are coming together. I think right now we have about 70 registered groups that are actually going to be doing this in a group setting, but we also have the online component. So that is really connecting people from across the country, even across the world. There's 600 of us signed up for the online part of it, and that is just a little bit unique in that, you know, sometimes summer is hard with the kids home or we're going on vacations and things like that. We might not be able to attend something. This gives women a chance to read at home. We meet online.
Okay.
And we kind of have
some of the studies
yeah. meet online, and we kind of have a virtual community coming together.
So describe a meeting. Somebody wants to become a part of one of these groups. We'll ask you in just a moment how to get into one of the groups. But what can they expect? They get a book, they read, and then what happens?
So then every Saturday, we send them an email, and it connects them to our blog. And we've invited 9 women to write reflections on each of the 9 chapters. And it's just what the Lord is doing in their lives through the chapter. So the first chapter is on spiritual poverty. And so we have a writer writing about, you know, she read the chapter, and then this is what God put on her heart, and she's going to share that online. And then our comments section in our blog is open, so women can type in what did they enjoy about the chapter, what was their favorite quote, what saint did they really resonate with. And then it kind of just has a little conversation online, and that carries out throughout the week, and then we read the next chapter, and it kind of keeps going.
And you're talking about poverty, and you're actually referring to the book that you're going to be using called Blessed Are You by Melanie Rigney, and we're going to talk to her in a few minutes. Finding Inspiration from Our Sisters in Faith. Give me a little background on this particular book that you're using this summer.
Yeah, so Melanie wrote this beautiful book, and it goes through the Beatitudes. And I think for many of us, the Beatitudes can be a little intimidating, like, oh my gosh, how am I ever going to live those out? Mm-hmm. But the Catechism tells us it's the heart of Jesus's teaching. And so I think when we think about the heart of Jesus, that's where we want to be. That's where we want to rest, and then we want to grow from there. And those are the Beatitudes. And so she takes each Beatitude, and then she matches saints that have lived out that beatitude in their lives. And so we can see really tangible ways. How do I live this out? Mm-hmm. And we can learn from the saints. They're our spiritual mentors, and they're cheering us on and want us to be with them in Jesus in heaven someday. So they're great to have on our side.
What have you heard from some of the people who have participated?
Oh, you know, people are so excited. And I think what's really neat is that it allows us to kind of go beyond the Minnesota border. We've been doing so much here in the Twin Cities, which is incredible. But the online book club allows us to extend and reach out, because we get emails all the time. When is wine coming to our our parish? When can we have wine in our archdiocese? And, you know, we're only a few workers in the vineyard. So this online, using the technology, allows us to really reach out and invite women, no matter where they are in the country, to be part
of. Or the world.
Or the world, yeah.
Yeah, you've got 10 countries now represented.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
And it's, you know, we're living in such a beautiful time. The technology that we have access to, it has its downfalls, but also it can be used for very good things like this. I mean, here you are in the Twin Cities with Women in the New Evangelization, partnering with the Archdiocese and working here in the Twin Cities and affecting people literally around the globe in minutes.
Yeah.
And that's pretty remarkable. You wonder what Paul would have done with
oh my gosh,
with some of this technology. So you start up officially tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What if somebody wants to join in on a group? What would they do?
So they can gather a few friends if they would like to, and invite them to be part of it. Maybe your Bible study is taking a break for the summer, or you have a women's ministry that's, you know, like maybe not as active in the summer. You know, call those women up, send them an email, say, hey, let's do this book club together this summer. Mm-hmm. And then we will provide them with a study guide and other additional materials. And all you have to do is purchase the book. The rest of it is free. So
how do they go about getting the book?
So they can purchase the book through Franciscan Media, which is the publisher. Franciscan's been great. They've been super supportive. They gave away 500 copies in like a matter of hours.
I heard about that.
Yeah.
What was that all about? They just suddenly made an announcement around the country saying we're giving away 500 of these?
Yeah, and then they invited anyone who wanted to be part of the book club to join, and we had our list doubled that day. It was amazing. And so they've been super enthusiastic, but you can really, wherever you like to purchase your Catholic books, this book is available there.
That's fantastic. Now the website where all this is put together, is that Catholic Vineyard?
Yes.
CatholicVineyard.com. Love the name.
Yes.
That's a good name. CatholicVineyard.com. I want to bring Madeline Murray into the conversation. Madeline Miller. You know what's funny about that is Madeline Murray, years ago, you know who I'm talking about, Madeline Murray O'Hare.
Oh,
she was a great atheist. I talked to her years ago, and I talked to her son. But that's not what we're here to talk about today.
Oh, my goodness.
Madeline Miller, a great Catholic here in the Twin Cities. You started a group, and talk to me a little bit about how that group has been a blessing to the ladies.
Okay, as you said earlier, you know, our relationships begin in our parish. Where we're in a Bible study or some other retreat program or other study that the parish offers. And then from there, these are the people that we start having relationships with.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we take our break from our fall studies and winter studies, like Sarah said, you know, we don't want to just stop there. We want to continue. And so when the Wine Conference started in 2015, well, many of us went to it, and from there, we were given this opportunity to take it one step further, and that was to start the book clubs.
Mm-hmm.
And through that, like, when you're at church, and you go to church on Sunday, and you talk with people in the gathering space afterwards, that doesn't really grow your friendships. You have to do something more than that. And so with the book clubs, what's happening is we're coming together in a smaller setting, and we're really sharing life and sharing faith. And it actually, to me, it becomes a ministry of women ministering to other women. And I think that's a really important and needed ministry in the church today.
Sure.
And I think that's kind of what's going to happen with the book clubs, with women.
Talking with Madeline Miller, who started one of the Read Between the Wines book clubs here in the Twin Cities, and Sarah Dom, who works with Women in the New Evangelization and kind of oversees these book clubs. One of the things I hear from women particularly, I think it's true of men too, but I think even more so with women, is that oftentimes they're with the children. And as you have said, Sarah, before, you're busy throughout the day driving kids around, doctor's appointments, soccer, the whole thing. And it's nice. It's nice at times just to get together with an adult, and you don't have to pick up the crumbs or have a bag of Cheerios in these groups, do you? I mean, you get to talk with women about big girl stuff and what's happening in life, and that's good. That's refreshing.
It is really refreshing. I think for women, you know, we know in our hearts and in our minds, and we would tell another friend, you need to carve out time for yourself. But so often we don't take our own advice and we end up at the bottom of the list of things we have to take care of. And yet we really need to make ourselves a little bit of a priority. And the book club is a really easy way to do that because it doesn't take a lot of time. It, you know, we're reading a chapter a week. So that's just a few pages a day. And there's not, you know, there's some reflection questions, but that's really just the conversation piece of it. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you read your book, you come together for an hour with other women, you have maybe some coffee or wine and cheese, whatever you'd like to do. And then you just talk about the book and how it's moving your heart. And I think we have gotten feedback in the past with wine. You know, we want to do something, but we don't have a lot of time. I need something that's not going to take me away for 3 hours or something like that. And this is short and sweet, but it really will make a big difference.
So once again, if you are interested in starting a book club, it's not too late. I mean, you can do it. You can do it tomorrow. You can do it in a week from now. I mean, it's the point is do something. But if you know of a group of women in your church that would like to maintain the relationships over the summer, then get a hold of them. Send a text to them. Send an email. Call them up and say, hey, what do you guys think? And Sarah, you could start with as few as 3 or 4 ladies, couldn't you?
Oh, absolutely.
But
yeah.
Start up your group and get the word out there. And it's amazing how quickly you can get a group of 7, 8, 9 women together that say, yeah, I'd like to do that this summer. And you don't have to do it on one particular day, do you?
No.
You can do it anytime.
Whatever works for your schedule and your life. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's flexible.
So if you want to know more information, you can go to CatholicVineyard.com. CatholicVineyard.com. Let me just say this, and I'd love to hear Madeline and Sarah, your thoughts about it. When it comes to the new evangelization and reaching out, oftentimes when we talk to people about evangelizing, they'll say, well, oh, that's not really my gift, or I don't know how to talk to people about the faith, or it's kind of private and I've never done that before. I wasn't raised that way. You know, you hear all these things. And that might be true individually, but what I have found is that when you are with other people, you become a little bolder. You come up with some new ideas on how to share your faith, and you learn some things just by being with other women.
Oh, definitely. And I think really, you just really need to have that little bit of encouragement in your heart to invite. It's really about invitation, you know, inviting someone to coffee and, you know, oh, I'm in this book club. Would you be interested in? It's very non-threatening, I think, the concept of book club. So, yeah.
We call that in the Catholic Watchman ministry, the initiative. We call it the tap approach. It's a tap on the shoulder. It's a, hey, you know, come and join us.
Yeah.
And people, by and large, are pretty open, you know, to coming to something if a friend will bring them. But they don't typically just show up alone. It's relational. Madeline, have you found that in your groups?
Most definitely. I think invitation is the most important thing. People will respond to an invitation. I know I would. Somebody invites me to something I'm really excited about, you know, whatever it might be. I think that just to invite a couple of friends, even if it maybe it isn't a church group, maybe it's your neighborhood, because you can go around and visit each other's homes, and you don't have to worry about too much about babysitters because your husbands are all there too. So I mean, it doesn't necessarily have to be through your church group. It could be your exercise group or your neighbors.
Right. Yeah, and you bring up a good point. There's a lot of creative ways of getting people together where you have common interests. There may be mothers of young children, and they may actually come up with a creative way to take care of the children during their group. You know, I remember years ago, we had a Bible study at Our Lady of Grace in Edina, and it was a women's study. It was a study I was conducting, and we had, we had something like 200 people signed up, and we thought, well, certainly there's more women out there that want to study the Bible than 200 people in Edina, Minnesota. And what we figured out was that if we could solve the children's problem, they were there very quickly. And we put together a nursery. We put together childcare, and it went up to about 600. It was amazing. And a lot of the women said, I don't know about studying the Bible, but I'm all for childcare.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah, for
and
sure.
And just to get together with other women, you know, the adults to talk, they had had a vocabulary beyond I want Cheerios. So exactly. so that was a big factor. So you have these common groups of mothers with children. You have people in the neighborhood. You also have senior living, you know, where people maybe aren't as mobile as they used to be, but they know of 7, 8, 9 people in their housing area that, you know, where they live that might want to get together.
Oh, yeah, that's, yeah.
Definitely. Oh, I think that would be a really good place to, in the nursing homes.
Anywhere, yeah, any kind of senior living.
Senior living, that would be great for them because they are so hungry for companionship and something to do, and these are, you know, not complicated. It's not, you have to, don't have to have a degree or anything. You can just have a heart for Jesus and wanting to learn.
Before we take a break, I want to, by the way, we're talking with Sarah Dahm and Madeline Miller, and it's about reading between the wines. It's the book club of Women in the New Evangelization. They start up in the Twin Cities tomorrow and around the country. There's an online component. If you don't want to get together with people, you know, in a place, but we really encourage you to do that, you can start them up by going to CatholicVineyard.com and start up a group in your area. And I imagine that St. George's has the book, Blessed Are You. That's the book they're using this summer. It's a summer book club for ladies. Some of the other bookstores may also, Leaflet, Missal, and others, give them a call. But I think St. George's has them for sure. But you can also go online and get them very quickly, get these books very, very quickly. Order 5 or 6 of them if you know that you're going to get 5 or 6 women, 7, 8 women in your book club. But Sarah and Madeline, I know there's another situation that a lot of women are facing. And I speak as a man when I say this, and that is that there are a lot of women out there that are excited about their faith. They want to go further in their faith, but their husband is not on board. Mm. Their husband is not on board. He's more interested in duck calls and hunting and bowling and other things and hobbies and whatever it might be. And they feel alone. They feel alone in their faith. And this is one of the areas where I think you can come together and strengthen one another. I'm reminded of what St. Peter said. He said that women can win over their husbands without even a word. You know, there's a great influence they have in their family just by their life and the way that they live their life. But is this one of the situations that the two of you have run into in talking to women around the country?
I haven't, but I know that it's personally, but I know that it is there for sure. And I think that when that is present, I think even having one other woman, you know, that you can confide in or ask to pray, you know, for the situation. And I think the power of our prayer as wives is really powerful, and just to not give up. And Jesus hears that, and
It certainly is. Well, we're going to take a break when we come back, and I invite both of you to stay with me here. But when we come back, we're going to talk to Melanie Rigney. And Melanie Rigney is the author of Blessed Are You, Finding Inspiration from Our Sisters in Faith, a marvelous book put out by Servant, and it goes through the Beatitudes in a very, very good way. And I think it's going to be a good reading for this summer to grow in Christ and to grow in your relationship with one another. So we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk with Melanie Rigney about reading between the wines. You're listening to the Rediscover Hour.
Did you ever hear the real story about Goldilocks, who visited a home hoping everything would be just right? Some homes were too small, others too big. Well, if the story were to continue, we'd find that the three bears weren't surprised that Goldilocks picked their home to visit. It was just right. It's likely the bear family called a realtor like Lisa Caselius of Remax Results in the Twin Cities. If you need a place that's just right, in a neighborhood with friendly neighbors, you should call Lisa Caselius.
For your happily ever after, call me, Lisa Caselius, at 651-206-4381. I'm a Relevant Radio listener who's been right-sizing homes for people in the Twin Cities and can do it for you. I can help with your decision to sell your home and find you a new one. Go to relevantradio.com and enter keyword results, or call or text 651 651-206-4381. 651-206-4381.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Jeff Cavins. Holding in my hands a new book called Blessed Are You, Finding Inspiration from Our Sisters in Faith, written by Melanie Rigney. And it's one of the Read Between the Wines book club books. And we're talking about wine, women in the new evangelization. Tomorrow's the big launch date all over the country for the summer reading book clubs. And it's really exciting how this has grown. It's out of the Twin Cities. It's our own here. Wine has partnered with the Archdiocese, Women in the New Evangelization. And in the summer, as Sarah Dom, who is with me, and Madeline Miller, who started a group here in the Twin Cities, have said, you know, that in the summer, oftentimes there's nothing to do. You're done with your fall and your spring studies with people, but you don't want to give up on the relationships. So you continue to meet with these book clubs. The book that they are featuring starting tomorrow is Blessed Are You. The author is Melanie Rigney, and she is the author of this great book. And she's also the co-author of When They Come Home, Ways to Welcome Returning Catholics. It's a guide for parish leaders who want to assist those considering a return to the church. She's also a regular contributor to Living Faith, the 650,000 circulation Catholic devotional, and writes weekly for Your Daily Tripod, a Catholic blog. She's a member of the Catholic Writers Guild, Capital Christian Writers, and several other writing groups. She lives in Arlington, Virginia. Welcome, Melanie, to the Rediscover Hour.
Well, thank you so much. It's just such a pleasure and blessing to be here today. I appreciate it.
You're joined by Sarah Dom, who you know, and her mother, Madeline Miller, who started a group here of Reading Between the Wines. And your group is, or your book is featured. And I'm really excited about this book club and what women are going to get out of it. But I want to talk to you about your book that Servant just published, Blessed Are You, Finding Inspiration from Our Sisters in Faith. What inspired you to put this together with the Beatitudes? It's an interesting angle.
Well, it's a little bit of an interesting story. I had written a daily devotional about women saints called Sisterhood of Saints. Yep. One woman saint or blessed per day, and it seemed to resonate with people, the idea that that the women saints really do want to help us and that they all have relevance to our lives today. And so I was asked to come up with some other concepts, and as a matter of fact, I was personally studying the Beatitudes at that point, which I'm sure you all know, as do your listeners. They are such beautiful words, and they are so incredibly difficult to live. Mm-hmm. So I kind of put the two ideas together, and it's not to say that any of these women saints had an easy path any more than any of us do.
Well, I love the way you did this. Yeah. You have the Beatitudes, like, for example, poverty, the first one, spiritual poverty, and then you go into four amazing people who they live it, right?
Yep, and in different ways. I think that's the fascinating thing, is that we're all called to live the Beatitudes in our lives, for in whatever way that happens to be. In the case of poverty, one of the examples is a young girl from our times who died of a rare form of brain cancer, but her spiritual poverty was the way that she ministered to others as she was dying. So not all seemingly big, showy things, but actually ways, like little ways that we can emulate as well.
Well, you certainly have a great group of saints that you're drawing from. You have Maria Faustina Kowalska. You have Elizabeth Ann Seton, Therese of Lisieux. You have Teresa of Avila. You've got Teresa of Calcutta. And the list goes on and on. Really, Dorothy Day. Really, some great, great people here. But is there one of the saints that really inspired you, or kind of challenged you, or surprised you as you were studying all of them?
You know, people ask me that, and I hate to pick a favorite because they're all my favorites. I think it's like with your children. For me, while I was writing the book, it was probably Faustina. I'm a quarter Polish, and she just kind of had. I had struggled with Faustina, and her intensity. That intensity really spoke to me last year during Lent. In her case, you know, when the Lord called her to get on a train and go to Warsaw and become a nun, she was at a dance, and she did it. And it really spoke to me because I can't speak for Sarah or Madeline or for you, but sometimes when the Lord calls me to do things, I have to process it with about 25 different friends and have a conversation with him about, are you sure? Are you really sure this is what you want me to do? You know, how about a year or two from now? So I think Faustina and sort of her single-mindedness and her spiritual indifference, she understood what the Lord wanted her to do, and she did it.
How did you go about matching up the saints with the Beatitudes? And let me just go over that real quickly for our listeners. We've got poverty, we've got mourning, we've got meekness, righteousness, mercy, purity, peacemaking, and persecution. How did you go about matching them up?
Whole lot of prayer, for starters. I tried to come up with different ways that they showed us how to live things. Let's take peacemaking, for example. Dorothy Day is an obvious one. She lived a life of pacifism. Josephine Bakita, maybe a little bit different. Hopefully people will get to know her because I think she's one of the most amazing people. She was in slavery much of her life and ultimately won her freedom and became a sister. And when she was asked what she would do with the slave, if she met the slave traders, she said she would kiss their hands because without them, she would never have known Christ. So peacemaking on a different level. And Catherine of Siena, I didn't take peacemaking with her so much from the standpoint of, you know, she helped negotiate the return of the Pope. It's more, her century was a very difficult one. A lot of people died for a lot of reasons. And in dialogues, she showed us a path back to a loving God, to a God who loved us beyond distraction. So in some ways, you know, my take on her was she helped God make peace with us and us to make peace with God. So I tried to find ways that might challenge you, that maybe weren't the obvious connection between the Beatitudes and these beautiful women.
Well, you have a lot of women that, I mean, I'm just being honest, I didn't know about. You know, it's not the ones I mentioned, we most of us have heard
right
about them, Teresa of Lisieux and Mother Teresa and, you know, Dorothy Day, of course. But some of them, I've never heard of them before. Of those women that are, I would say, somewhat obscure to the average Catholic, which ones do the women of today most need to meet?
I would say the number one is Elizabeth Canori Mora.
Okay.
She is in the chapter about mercy. The reason I say that is that she was in a bad marriage, really bad marriage. That's not to say every woman should stay in a bad marriage. I'll be totally honest. I was married and I'm annulled. But the Lord told her that he desired to save her husband through her.
Okay.
And she remained married. She found plenty of other ministries. She always talked about him with love to her daughters. He wasn't there when she died, but ultimately it was her faith that brought him back to a relationship with God, and he spent the final years of his life as a priest.
That's an amazing story. We were talking about that earlier, and how Peter talks about the influence that a wife has on her husband without even saying a word in some situations.
Absolutely. Yeah, there was no nagging in that relationship at all. You know, even her spiritual advisor told her to leave him, but the Lord had other plans. And I think that's why I think, you know, I know a lot of women struggle in relationships these days, whether it's with your husband or sometimes as a caregiver to your parents or maybe to, you know, to a child or something in your work life. But I think she's a great example of, if the Lord puts you in a place, trust him, believe him.
Sure. Yeah. We're talking with Melanie Rigney, and she wrote, "Blessed Are You, Finding Inspiration from Our Sisters in Faith." It's the book of choice, if you will. It's the select grape for this summer for Reading Between the Wines for the Women in the New Evangelization Reading Groups this summer. You can find out all about it by going to CatholicVineyard.com. Melanie, you know, when I read the lives of the saints, I got to be honest with you, some of them come across to me as a little, in modern terms, a little odd, kind of strange, you know? And I'm wondering, are there any of the saints that people might find a little difficult to understand? I know that in my life there are some.
I think they're all difficult for us in one way or another.
Because they're saints.
Yeah, and you know, we're all called to be saints. In the same way, you know how sometimes we find that the people that are the most difficult to be around are the ones that are the most like us? Just maybe a little bit on steroids. I think it is, you know, it certainly is possible. You know, I think sometimes it's difficult for us to think about Teresa of Calcutta, for example, because nobody can be as good as Teresa of Calcutta, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, she heard the call within a call, she responded. She worked among teeming masses of people who were dying, who she could provide little comfort to other than prayer in many cases. And what was her reward? She experienced a very lengthy dark night of the soul, and she got tossed around a lot in the media by people who criticized her. And what would we all do in that situation? You know, I would think our feelings would probably be hurt, and, you know, maybe we'd rethink this whole ministry thing. But I think it's in those difficult stories that we are most likely to find kind of the nugget, because at the end of the day, they're all like us. We know, for example, that her dark night of the soul was very difficult for her. It wasn't like she got up in the morning and said, "Woo, God's not talking to me. I'm so excited. Let's get out there and, you know, and take care of some people." She suffered over that just as we do when we're separated from the Lord. But she believed and she persevered, and I think any saint that we have a challenge with is probably the saint we should be spending more time with.
Exactly.
Because he or she has something to tell us.
Well, you know, one of the things that I challenge men particularly, or anybody really, to do in their own formation is, you know, obviously we're following Jesus, we have the Blessed Mother, we've got the saints mm-hmm. in general. But I've encouraged people to look at the saints as older brothers and sisters and to choose two or three of them that you get particularly close to. I guess you would call it a devotion to, you know, a particular saint, but to get particularly close to, that they're like older sisters that really can help you and mentor you. Do you have a couple of them that are particularly close to you?
I guess two, and I'll try to keep them short. One is Elizabeth Ann Seton.
Mm-hmm.
She actually spoke to me during a relics exhibition. To her, I appreciate that she founded the First American Order of Sisters. I appreciate all the work she did. For me, she is an example every single solitary day of what a little bit of kindness can do.
Mm-hmm.
She was 29 years old, had, I think it was, 5 children. She was in Italy. They had taken her husband there, hoping that he would be, you know, his tuberculosis would be eased somewhat.
Right.
That didn't happen. So she was a bankrupt widow, had one daughter with her. The rest of her entire life support system was thousands of miles away in the United States. And she was Episcopalian and you know, a devout follower of Christ. Two of his business associates took care of her and her daughter.
Yeah.
Took them in, fed them, mourned with them, grieved with them, took them to churches.
Sounds like real life, Melanie.
Yeah.
Got about another minute. Who's the other one, real quick?
The other one would be Anastasia, my confirmation saint. And that's the other thing I would suggest. Go back and talk to your confirmation saint.
Good idea.
The Lord gave you your confirmation saint for a reason.
Good idea. We got about a minute left, Melanie. Any suggestions for the women who are starting up in the book clubs tomorrow of how to approach the book?
Remember, we're all called to holiness.
Okay.
And they want to help you. Just exactly what you said. They're your friends.
Mm-hmm.
They don't replace your relationship with Jesus. But just as you go to different friends with different problems, ask different saints to intercede for you for different issues that you might have, because they're there and they want to help us.
Yep. I love it. Thanks for writing the book, Melanie. And just pray that these groups that are starting up around the country right now will be fruitful, and they'll get it. They'll really get it. Appreciate you. Appreciate
Thanks.
The book.
God bless.
That's Melanie Rigney. She wrote Blessed Are You, Finding Inspiration from Our Sisters in Faith. That's the book club book. Starting up tomorrow, if you want to start up a women's group, a book club, Reading Between the Wines, go to CatholicVineyard.com, and you can start it up this week or next week, but start it. Get a group of women, 4, 5, 6, up to 10 maybe, and start up your own summer reading group. I think you're going to get a lot out of this book, Blessed Are You, Finding Inspiration from Our Sisters in Faith. You're going to adopt some older sisters in the Lord that are going to be helpful in your own life. And Sarah and Madeline, I want to thank you both for joining us today.
Thank you, Jeff. Thank you, it was really fun.
Blessings on the launch tomorrow.
Yeah, God bless you.
That's Women in the New Evangelization. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we've got a lot of great things happening this weekend and next week and the week beyond here in the Twin Cities. You're listening to the Rediscover Hour.
I'm Steve Smith with Modern Roadways. We've fixed, replaced, and seal-coated driveways and parking lots for Relevant Radio listeners for years. Along with my dad, Ed, and our family crew, we continue to have our A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. Our blacktop patching can save your driveway or parking lot. We do what's called skin patching. First, we clean the area and apply a tack coat so the new will hold to the old. Next, we patch over the present surface using its strength and durability. Skin patching is one-third the cost of excavation patching, so we can cover 3 times as much area for the same cost, getting all present potholes as well as areas that will be potholes in the next few months. Now the rest of the story. We offer a $100 discount to Relevant Radio listeners who give us the go-ahead on repair projects of $1,000 or more. Modern Roadways, 763-545-1777.
Teach the children. Teach the children. Get with the Lord, there is mercy.
This is the Rediscover Hour. Welcome back. I'm Jeff Cavins. Teach the children. That's something we have to do, but it really begins with you. And there's another opportunity for you to grow in your faith. It might be called a catechetical institute. Paul Sadek has more on that.
Oh, yes. The Archbishop Harry J. Flynn Catechetical Institute is accepting applications for the upcoming class this fall, the Class of Teresa of Calcutta. This 2-year program follows the 4 pillars of the Catechism of the Catholic Church, and it'll make sense of all things Catholic, deepen your faith, and lay out the roadmap to heaven. Classes are divided into 4 weeks, 4 11-week modules, and meet on Monday evening, 7 to 9 p.m., with 2 Saturday morning formative sessions per module. Applications are being accepted through July 15th for the class beginning in September. Find out more and get an application to become part of the Class of St. Teresa of Calcutta. Call 651-962-5028 or visit cistudent.com.
On Tuesday, June 21st, Minnesota Catholic Conference invites you to a presentation by Jason Adkins on the U.S. Bishop's teaching document, Forming Consciences for Faithful Citizenship. The presentation will take place at the Church of St. Paul in Ham Lake and begins at 7 p.m. For more information, visit mncc.org and click on events.
All young adults ages 18 to 39 are invited to Theology on Tap, presented by the Cathedral of St. Paul Young Adults. Connect with others for an evening of food, fellowship, and faith. Series is held Wednesday evenings, June 15th through July 20th at O'Gara's in St. Paul. Social hour from 6:30 to 7:30. Speaker at 7:30. Topics focus on faith and contemporary issues that directly affect the lives of young adults. This Wednesday, June 22nd, come hear the Assistant Professor of Sacred Scripture at the St. Paul Seminary, Father Scott Carl. He'll speak on the Word made flesh, Scripture, and the Eucharist. For more information, visit the events page at archspm.org or visit cathedralstpaul.org/ CYA.
On Saturday, June 25th, Our Lady of Grace in Edina is holding the 6th annual Widow's Day of Reflection, a day of prayer, reflection, and the intercession of Mary, Mother of Jesus, and Widow of Joseph. This event is endorsed by the Archdiocesan Office of Marriage and will feature keynote speaker Father Richard Simon and Michelle Denise Michaels. The morning begins with 8:30 a.m. Mass and concludes after lunch. For more information and to register, visit www.olgparish.org or call Cheryl at 952-831-2656.
The relics of two saints who exemplified courage and conviction in the face of persecution are coming to the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis. Relics of St. Thomas More and St. John Fisher will be available for veneration at the Cathedral of St. Paul Sunday, June 26th, 6:30 to 8 p.m. Tour is being organized by the Minnesota Catholic Conference, and it's part of the broader Fortnight for Freedom, a call to 14 days of prayer, education, and action for religious freedom in the United States. Learn more at archspm.org. And what is coming up next week on the Rediscover Hour?
Well, you can join us next week as we hear from young women in the Archdiocese who recently participated in the Given Forum on Catholic Young Women's Leadership in Washington. The event was hosted and sponsored by the Council of Major Superiors of Women Religious. That's a mouthful. We'll also hear from Professor of Catholic Studies and Theology on the University of St. Thomas. That's Dr. John Boyle and his wife Dia are talking about Opus Dei. That's next on the Rediscover Hour.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday morning at 9, Saturday evening at 6, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. You can find show audio archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com, keyword rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.